according to the press releases, you're a huge fan of Jim Morrison. How did that all come about?
Well, it was rather extraordinary, really. I mean, I saw the movie, The Doors. Mm-hmm. And I guess one night I went and got a copy of the record. I remember it was Riders on the Storm was probably the first song I heard. And I remember, strangely enough, all the lights. We had a power cut in London that night. And yeah. So I sat there with my candle and listened to this song. And I just, I mean, I'm getting chills even now thinking about it. I just thought it was one of the most magical pieces of art I'd ever heard. His lyrics and his voice and his vision and the band and his sexuality. And I was just completely hypnotized by this artist. And, you know, I had been working as an actress and gone to film school, written poetry growing up, played a bit of guitar, and I just thought he was the most mesmerizing artist, and I kind of felt like, okay, well, if you're going to do something with your life, you know, as a performer, do something good. And I somehow, through discovering The Doors, I found a way to put all my different skills together, you know, and come up with my own version of being a performer. So, you know, Jim Morrison's been a very profound influence on me. A lot of the things that interested him, like the native Indian way, you know, really intrigue me. I've spent a lot of time out in the Mojave Desert with a Cherokee medicine woman studying the medicine way. And, you know, obviously the poets and Nietzsche. I read a lot of Nietzsche. Nietzsche?
Nietzsche, yeah. Uh-huh.
After discovering Jim, and I loved Nietzsche. And so, yeah, very big influence, you know. I've been to Pierre Lachaise a couple of times, which is the grave site in Paris. And I lived in a van outside his house when I first came to L.A., his old house.
Uh-huh.
He was kind of like, I guess, like a bit of a spirit guide for me, you know, so.
Well, what made you want to live in a van, you know?
I didn't think I had any choice at the time.
Because, you know, in the press releases, they said how, you know, you grew up in London, you spent time in Spain, you were talking about your time in Paris. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I just maybe guessed that you had a privileged upbringing, maybe.
No, not really, no. I come from, you know, two artists. My parents are painters in uh-huh. Southwest London. And I just always had this, you know, follow your bliss.
Uh-huh.
And I did live a pretty extraordinary life for a period in Rome.
Uh-huh.
I lived in a palace in Rome for a couple of years. But apart from that, it's been more, you know, like beat on the road, you know. And so when I came to Los Angeles, you know, with this great dream to make music, and I was really broke, you know. My sister and I lived out in a cave in the Mojave Desert for about 8 weeks because we didn't really have any money to rent anywhere.
Wow.
And, you know, but we were, you know, I was really under the spell of this kind of Morrison myth at the time, and I thought, well, what would Jim do? He'd go out to the desert. And I have to say, you know, living out in that cave and living in the van at the bottom of the Laurel Canyon is probably one of the more magical things I've ever done in my life. It was, you know, it was really, you know, especially the cave, living in a cave and sleeping on this beautiful boulder under the stars, really magical, you know. So, no, it wasn't privilege. It was privilege in a way, if you like, beauty of nature, you know.
How do you think that's influenced your album, Woman on Top?
Well, I think all these experiences have made me feel like I could really live life on my own terms, and that's the freedom. And I think that, you know, Woman on Top is like a culmination of all these experiences in a way, you know. And I feel like kind of women have arrived on top at this point, you know. And we've done everything, really. We've worked, we've given birth, we've, you know, done so many things. And I think you know, got on top of a lot of our own compromises. And I think that Woman on Top is really about that. It's about me getting on top of my own compromises and doing it in my own way and really getting the nourishment out of my life and life that I need to.
Okay. Lyrically, I can definitely see the comparison, you know, to like Jim Morrison and The Doors, and talking about life and struggle and just how things are, how they could be, how they should be, all those things. But your voice, you kind of sound a little bit like Meredith Brooks.
Mm.
I'm not sure if you remember who she was. She had that great hit back in the day, I'm a Bitch. Like,
yeah.
that big pop single. Who do you try and marry yourself after, vocally, or do you just try and, you know, roll the dice and see what happens?
Mm. Well, I think early on, I really liked Sheryl Crow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could definitely see that as well. Absolutely.
I think now it would be more subconscious than anything, you know, because I sing my songs and my melodies, and I write the songs just the way I feel them. So I don't really feel at this point I'm trying to sound like anyone. I love that song, Bitch. And
yeah.
I know Shelley Pykins, who wrote that with Meredith Brooks. And actually, she had quite a profound influence on me becoming a songwriter because she introduced me to Suzanne Koch,
oh, wow.
who has been holding, this is Shelley, not Meredith, but Suzanne has been holding these wonderful songwriters' rendezvous in Los Angeles. And Suzanne Koch is a great, great publisher, and she really helped to develop me as a songwriter. So that song actually has some sort of resonance with me, because I remember thinking, I want to write a song like that, when I spoke to Shelley and was introduced to Suzanne. So.
Wow, small world.
Yeah, so I take that as a compliment. Meredith Brooks is obviously a great artist and great woman rocker, so that's great. Thank you.
No problem. You've also had a lot of help as far as this album goes with people that have worked with Rihanna, Norah Jones, people that have worked with the Chili Peppers, Shania Twain, Aerosmith. How do you think that's helped kind of polish this album?
Mm. Well, obviously with all this talent involved, you know, it's very significant. I love to work with the best. And, you know, the vision is mine, the creative vision is mine, but it's obviously really a magical experience to work with other artists and producers who you know, are part of the process of crafting the song. Usually, I start off, you know, like formulating and writing, you know, on my own in my house up in Laurel Canyon. And often my songs will start off as emails.
Oh.
And I'll you know, I'll have a passionate feeling about somebody, and I'll start this this letter to them. And sometimes I send them, sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
But more likely than not, they'll become a song, you know. And then I might start putting some chords, you know, and just like singing the words through on chords and trying to get a feeling. Then if I feel like, you know, I want an extra co-writer, or want to go, you know, I'll go and talk to one of my producers about who would be the right co-writer. If I feel like the song needs to go to another level or another place that I'm not taking it to. So it's sort of a very organic process, and I obviously collaborate with people that I feel like I resonate with creatively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, Jim Scott, who mixed, has been, you know, and who did record the Chili Peppers and Dixie Chicks and all the rest. He's been a great friend and mentor for many years now, so he's been pretty fundamental to my creative development.
Okay.
All the producers who worked on the record were amazing. And, you know, I came with the vision that I wanted to make woman rock, mm-hmm. you know, and I wanted it to be Stonesy and sexy and very expressive of my personality, and then we all, you know, put it together.
Okay. Listening through the album, it's kind of hard to put a genre to it. It's not quite pop.
Mm.
It's not quite, you know, it's not super hard, but it's upbeat, it's catchy, and there's a distinct flavor to it, but it's kind of hard to put a name to that. If you could put a name to that flavor, what do you think it would be?
Woman rock. I don't know. I purposely wanted to put it right on the cusp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, melodically I wanted it to be a bit pop, but my sensibility is rock.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so I wanted the guitars and sonically to emulate the kind of music I love, you know, like the Stones. And but I really wanted to burp up something that was new and that was me. I didn't really want to make a record that sounded like this or like that. I just kind of wanted to follow my own muse and sort of like making a wine or something, like percolate it. And I feel like, you know, we succeeded with that with these producers.
Aside from singing on the CD, do you play any instruments as well?
I play a little bit of guitar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, because there's a lot of female musicians out there that, you know, they claim they're female rockers, and then you ask them if they play any instruments, and they say
no. I play.
So it's refreshing.
I play guitar, and I play guitar on stage as well. And I write on guitar usually. You know, that's usually how I start off songs. You know, most of the best songs are written in three chords, I understand. So I sit there with you know, any variation on three chords, and you know.
Yeah. Interesting side note about you. I had no idea until I read the press release. You actually sang the jingle on the Gillette commercial.
On one of them. They produce quite a lot, but on one of them, yeah, I did. I was that girl, Venus.
Because those get played all over the United States, like ad nauseum, like all the time. Regardless if you're a man or a woman, you've walked around at one time and said, "I'm your Venus," you know.
Yeah, it's a great song. Who was it by again? Was it Bananarama?
I have no idea.
Amazing song. I love that song. Yeah. I think, and I is totally me. I really do feel like a goddess of love.
It's kind of like you've come a long way from the acting in the horror movies and the jingles and, you know, a couple of songs on, you know, compilations here and there to this. How do you feel right now seeing that, you know, this album is coming out?
I feel like a woman on top. No, I feel amazing, you know. I feel very blessed right now. I feel very excited about this record. I put my heart and my soul into it. You know, I really worked really hard on it, and I think it has legs. Like the Venus ads, you know. I think people seem very excited about it, and, you know, more than that, I love it when I perform these songs, especially like Woman on Top, and I see all the women in the audience like dancing and waving their arms. You know, I'm very excited about it, and I hope it's going to get to lots and lots of people out there. So I feel great, you know, wonderful.
I know this is a difficult question to ask, especially considering the fact that, you know, you're a singer and a songwriter, and a lot of the stuff that you write, probably all of the stuff, has resonated with you and been important to you at the time that you have written it and even at the time that you're performing it. But which song on the album do you feel you connect with the most, and why?
Well, I connect with them all for different reasons, but I have a special, you know, passionate feeling towards the song Black Roses, which I wrote about a muse, you know, a groupie,
yeah.
Los Angeles groupie, and I was someone I observed, you know, the her life sort of tragically, you know, spiraling down, and I didn't know something about this tragic heroine and the way she sees the world, and that really moves my soul. I love to sing that song. I love it when I sing it, and we get all the dynamics right, and you just see the audience kind of freeze, you know, and you can feel. I also, it was kind of the first song that I felt was really good that I wrote for this album, and that got me in to, you know, I went in and saw the producer, Glenn Ballard, and I played it to him. You know, he's an amazing, iconic American producer. I got in to see the producers I ended up working with. So the song kind of was like a arrowhead, you know, for me making this next album, you know, and it definitely, you know, I think I love the lyric, you know, she paints black roses on the wall, waiting for a man who may never call. She paints black roses on the wall, setting herself up for another fall. Because I think we've all done that, you know. All done it in one way or another in our lives. And, you know, so I like that. I've seen a lot of that, you know, around Los Angeles. So, you know, that definitely resonates. But I love, obviously, to perform Woman on Top. So there's the two ends of the rainbow, really.
Absolutely. Is there anything else that you want to say about the album that we haven't touched base on yet?
Let's see. Well, I think it's a very life-affirming album. You know, and I think it's an album to get out and live to, you know. We've been through some really tough times, you know, with the recession and all the different things going on in the world, but I think we can't lose our sense of joy and the fact, you know, we're all human beings and we're supporting each other to get through. You know, this has been a huge team effort to make this album, which is one of the reasons I really, you know, it's a real test of faith to multiple people, you know, making a rock and roll album. So I'm really hoping that Woman on Top is going to get out there and kick ass, and lots of people are going to enjoy it. That's all.